The Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Praise and glory to God. John the Baptist prepares the way. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around the waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of Jesus. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Last year, 2020, was a difficult year for many of us. I still vaguely remember the optimism with which many people around the world embarked onto the year 2020. There was talk about 2020 vision and all that it would bring. And then what a disaster it turned out to be, mainly through the pandemic, but also through environmental crises like the fires in Australia and some strange political events. Many people were longing to get 2020 behind them and to begin a new year. Well, apart from the birth of our son and me beginning a new position here, there was one particular item of good news in 2020 that I received with great joy. It consisted in the report on a major study on the protective effects of diet on cognitive decline. Well, in other words, it was a report on a study on what foods we should eat to remain mentally alert and healthy. The data indicated that one food was particularly beneficial, cheese. As a lover of cheese, that's good news for me. I now can justify my purchase and consumption of cheese as an investment in my cognitive health. We may just have cheese fondue a bit more often. When I looked into the subject area, it soon became clear that this conclusion is something that research has indicated throughout the years. But for some reason, this newest study has been more widely reported. By the way, drinking red wine is also good for arresting cognitive decline. We won't have communion today, but maybe you need to come to communion more regularly and then take a good sip. Those are fairly insignificant bits of good news. And maybe it's only really good news to cheese lovers. Maybe news of a COVID vaccine is more important, but that will at best only lessen the threat and overall bring us back to the situation we were in a year ago. In ancient Israel, the good news of the enthronement of a new king or of deliverance in battle would be proclaimed by messengers. But what greater joy could there be than when the longing of years is finally fulfilled, even though there may have been setbacks on the way? Such good news is proclaimed, for example, in poetry found in the book of Isaiah. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, "Your God reigns." The prophet told the people to look forward to the restoration of Zion. The salvation of God will come. These are the promises of God that are found throughout the prophets and which allowed the people of God to look forward to that time when God would act in history to bring about the promised salvation. That is the Advent hope, and we experienced a bit of that before Christmas. The Gospels of Matthew and Luke tell the birth narratives after they refer to the promises of God to Israel. So it is clear that Jesus is the one, this baby in the manger is the one who fulfilled those promises. The Gospel of Mark is a bit more direct. There are no birth narratives. Mark gets right into it. He has a one-line title which describes what this book is all about and serves as his introduction. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's it, but that phrase has got quite a bit in it. The beginning. There are two books that begin similarly, Genesis and the Gospel of John. While those words are a statement about the book, and, you know, this is where the book starts, these words also refer back to the book of Genesis, indicating the link to the entire Old Testament and God's purposes from the creation of the world. The next word is the word gospel, or in Greek, Evangelion, the good news. That's where our words evangelical, evangelize, and so on come from, to tell the good news. The good news in ancient times referred to many different announcements, often of a political nature. While that meaning is included in the word gospel, it seems that Mark uses it in particular in reference to the good news that was mentioned, for example, in the prophet Isaiah. When the restoration of Zion was proclaimed, the comforting of God's people, the reign of God, and the salvation of the whole world. Another famous passage from the book of Isaiah that is full of messianic promise and includes the good news is from chapter 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Those verses go on to also speak about the restoration of Zion. Isaiah looks forward to a time when God will be with humans, when the enslavement of people will be ended. And so for Mark, the coming of Jesus is the beginning of the fulfillment of the good news heralded by Isaiah. This good news or gospel is not just a set of announcements. It is certainly more than a set of truths or beliefs. No, the good news is a person, the person of Jesus the Christ. Jesus is here called the Christ, a Greek translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, the Anointed. This was the king who is promised throughout the Old Testament. Jesus is that anointed king. But Mark says that Jesus is more. He is the Son of God. For Mark, that title was clearly more than an indication that Jesus had some divine spark, or that he was a hero in the mold of Greek or Mesopotamian demigods, such as Hercules, for example. No, Jesus was in his very nature of God. This confession that Jesus was the Son of God stands here in the heading of to the Gospel. We find it again towards the end of the Gospel of Mark, when the Roman centurion declares as Jesus dies on the cross, "Surely this man was the Son of God." And here we come to the center of what it meant for Jesus to be the Son of God. He was sent to suffer and die for us humans. There on the cross, the mission of the Son of God would be fulfilled. Like the other gospel writers, in the Gospel of Mark, the ministry of John the Baptist gets mentioned early on. The Gospel of Mark has very few quotations from the Old Testament, unlike the Gospel of Matthew, for example. But here at the beginning, he lists some. That is because the ministry of Jesus cannot be understood apart from the Old Testament hope. And so Mark says that it is written in the Isaiah the prophet. And then somehow he goes on to quote some verses from the prophet Malachi before returning finally to the quote from Isaiah. So did Mark get it a bit wrong here? Maybe, but I think this is a blending of the prophetic hopes that is significant, both from the, Malachi and Isaiah. The verses from Isaiah are those relating to the restoration from exile. Those verses have been quoted a bit fuller in the Gospel of John, for example. And a month ago, I also somehow preached about John the Baptist and how he was portrayed in the Gospel of John. And it is clear that at that time, some Jews were still waiting for the full restoration from exile. They realized that it had not fully occurred at the time of the return from Babylon, that God would still intervene more emphatically. And so that's where the words from the prophet Malachi come in. These words link the coming of God's messenger with the coming of the day of the Lord. Rather than being only a time of victory, the day of the Lord will also be a time of judgment. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? No one is the implied answer. Nevertheless, this day of judgment will not be a day of doom, but rather a day of refinement and purification, and in that sense, a day of salvation. For judgment does not mean vindictive retribution, but rather the turning away from destruction to God's goodness. And so that's why John the Baptist preached repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance and forgiveness are linked, but they only become full reality in Jesus, who is the good news. In Jesus, sin was judged and forgiveness and hope offered to all people, so that they can live in that joy of the good news. When Jesus comes from Nazareth in Galilee to be baptized by John, this mission of the suffering, forgiving, and life-giving Messiah was confirmed. At this moment, a voice came from heaven. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Just as at the cross, when the centurion confessed that Jesus was the Son of God, this, the baptism, is an event of revelation, of epiphany. Looking back, it is a moment in which we can see a sign of the Trinity, with the Spirit as the confirmation of the love that binds God the Father and God the Son. We should not forget that at the end on the cross, Jesus calls out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" The mission of the Son means the separation from the Father, for this is the depth of God's love for us. Jesus is indeed the good news in person, the fulfillment of the promises proclaimed throughout the prophets. This good news is not a proclamation of human victory, but rather of God's costly love to bring forgiveness and liberation to all people. Therefore, all sense of judgment is turned to joy and relief as we are freed from guilt. Jesus is indeed good news. Amen.